Welcome to the Uncut Podcast. I'm Pastor Luke.
I'm Pastor Cameron.
And this is the Uncut Podcast, where we have honest, uncut conversations about faith, life, and ministry. Today, we're not in the normal studio.
No, we are wickedly on location.
Wickedly?
Yeah, I don't know why it's wicked, but we're on location.
It's pretty fly.
It is pretty fly for a bunch of white guys. We are here at a little camp and retreat center.
Yep.
Right on Chautauqua Lake, and attending the simulcast of a conference.
Yep.
For
pastors.
Pastors, church leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Called the Basics Conference. You might be aware of it. If not, it's the first time that you've been to it.
I've been to it once before and watched some of the teachings from it before. Yeah.
I never have, so it's my first exposure to it, and content is good so far.
Yeah.
So, been grateful for it. The weather's beautiful, so in the midst of a pretty busy, we had a super busy week last week.
We did.
And
why was it busy, Cameron?
Well, we had launched the second service that we've been talking about.
We did?
Here on the podcast for a little while, and been anticipating and working towards. And I don't know, by all accounts that I've received and all in my own experience and talking together as a staff, I think we think that it went pretty well.
Yeah.
As far as like
the logistics of it,
just like a worldly execution standpoint, you know, like just
church happened,
like
people were where they were supposed to be.
Yep. Yep. But grateful for that. Regardless, it was busy. It was a busy week, and so we didn't get a chance to record on our normal schedule.
Yep.
And now we're going to be at this for a couple of days this week, and so our normal schedule is missing, like, not in our rhythm again.
Yep.
And so thought here during one of our breaks in between sessions that we would try and record a quick little podcast, talk about some things that we've been talking about this week already. Mm-hmm. And anticipate that it's not just a ministry thing or a faith thing. It's I think it's a human thing that people experience. So.
Yeah, because we were like, I had almost forgotten about this. It was on my calendar, but I had almost forgotten about like this little conference thing, and that we were gonna take some time to be away. And when you initially reminded me of it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I was like, I just had such a busy week and I feel like there's still so much to do at the office right now.
Mm-hmm.
That getting up and like taking more time out of the office just feels like I can't possibly do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was the same. I was like, you know, when we put this in the calendar and committed to coming, I didn't put kind of two and two together about the schedule of launch of the second service and all that we'd be building up to. And when I looked at it, I think it was like Sunday afternoon or something like that. I looked at it in the calendar. I was like, oh, okay. There's such a long list of things that I need to get done this week.
Yeah.
And that I need to bring my intention to.
Mm-hmm.
And then even outside of the list, it felt like on Sunday at church, Sunday evening, after church, into my evening with my time with my family, there was several situations that were, from a ministry standpoint, that were like screaming for my attention.
Yep.
Not in a bad way, but just like needing a pastoral, some focus.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, when will there ever be, this is a joke that a lot of people say, it's like, oh, if I get this done and I get this done and I get this done, then everything's going to slow down and I can feel a little bit of like rest.
Yeah.
Right. Not just a ministry thing. I think that's a life thing.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt the same way. Is like, when is this all going to slow down?
Yeah. Well, because I think you too, probably, we had both been like, April was packed.
It was packed full. Yeah.
And it was kind of like hoping that we'd like, okay, we get done, we'd launch the second service, and then we can, take a breath. Mm-hmm. But now we're here, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get to take a breath yet.
Yeah, right. And so there was a, I think there was a point where both of us, I saw it on your face on Monday morning, yesterday morning, about this. And I was feeling it too, but had, you know, had like kind of made up my mind that even though I didn't really want to come, I did want to come, and I didn't want to come,
right.
You know, that even though I didn't want to come, but did, even though there was 1,000 things on the to-do list, that it was really, it was important for my soul to not be a slave to the, to not always be a slave to the urgent.
Yeah.
Because what is urgent, or what presents as urgent in our lives, is not always,
it's not always the most important.
What's most important.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that we get that confused a lot, and it ends up really, realigning and misaligning our priorities and what makes us and keeps us healthy and what is best for us. We are generally, people are generally slaves to the urgent without asking the question, is this important? Or is this the most important thing? Not that it's unimportant, but is this the most important thing that I must do right now? And so when you, like, so the to-do list in the office, the to-do list at church is long.
For sure.
And the thing is like, we could get ourselves into a habit or a pattern of saying like, oh, well, I'm going to do the to-do list so that I can get done with the to-do list, and then I can do all the important things.
Right.
The reality of when's the last time that our to-do list has been empty? I don't remember.
Before
a time.
I got hired here.
Yeah. There was not a to-do. There's like, it's not as if we stayed, in the office all week and we just cranked on the to-do list,
right,
that we would get it done and then there would be nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And that we could then, animals behind us.
Yeah.
And that then we could like finally relax or do the important, no, it's always,
right,
it's always going to be there.
Cause there's like these like longer term, big term projects that like, I don't know, that we want to get done because we were like, if we could get this thing done, like this would have a really big kingdom impact. It would benefit like the church and all this. But those things typically aren't the thing. They usually take a lot of time, take a lot of energy, and thought and prayer, and they don't get done quickly. And usually if those things get done, nobody complains, or if they don't get done, you know? But if like we, you know, but it's all the like, well, this has got to go be done by this day. And this, and if we're always making time for those things, for the urgent things, we don't always make time for the important things.
Right. And so what is like us being here rather than being at the office doing the to-do list? What does that for you, communicate is the important thing?
The important things, like my own soul and my own like connection to my calling and like investment in myself. Cause like I was talking with my wife about it as we were driving home from church, and I was telling her about like this conference, and I was like, I don't really want to go. And she was just like, look, that's silly. I was like, you're right. Like it just, like, it would be really easy right now to just kind of like cut out this thing that's meant to be a blessing and an investment in me after like what was a very very busy week, you know, mm-hmm. like I think we were both at the church like almost every day.
Yeah, there was no days off last week.
No days off last week.
And they were all long days.
I don't think I had any days off the previous week either.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all very long. I've been at the office like a lot of 12-hour days the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be really easy to just to not invest in myself after that and just keep going.
Yeah.
But then what's like the long-term cost of that?
Yeah. Yeah, there's... The long-term costs are pretty significant when we go and 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 we go without any sense of like how is it that we are empowered to do ministry in the first place?
Yeah.
And the how we are empowered to do ministry in the first place is by the life of Christ in us.
Right.
So, the Alistair Begg, who is the main speaker at this conference that we're at, I haven't taken many notes so far, and I've kind of just preferred to listen and let it soak in rather than feeling like I had to capture a bunch of information.
Yep.
You know, but there was, one thing that he said it was like one of only three things I've written down so far. Well, one thing that he said, like he was quoting someone else. I don't know who, but it was he was quoting a pastor who had essentially said to his new church or his new congregation,
mm-hmm.
he was like, you know, I'm paraphrasing, of course, you know, like I am here and I will be talking to the church. I will be your servant.
Yeah.
I will be your servant.
Mm-hmm.
But you will not be my master.
Right.
And that for me was so significant
mm-hmm.
because it spoke to the heart that every Christian leader, whether you're a pastor
mm-hmm.
or not,
or you're in business, or you're in family business, or...
you run a business, you have, you're leading your family, mm-hmm. You're leading in your community, even like a community organization, like, you know, the PTA or a sports team or whatever.
Yeah.
Like we're called to serve
as
followers of Jesus
mm-hmm.
and to serve means to empty ourselves,
mm-hmm.
to lay aside our, what maybe even is important or urgent to us. And to give ourselves for the cause of the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I aim to do. I know that's what you aim to do.
Yeah.
In the way in which we function in church.
Yeah.
But church is not our master.
Right.
We do not serve. We serve the church.
Right.
But the church does not determine why we serve, how we serve, or that we serve.
Right.
Like we serve, the reason that we serve the church is because we serve Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus serves the church.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus loves the church. And Jesus died and gave himself
mm-hmm.
As an offering for the church.
Yeah.
So I feel like a little bit that what he said in the conference
mm-hmm.
was like, all right, yeah, okay, that's why I just left the to-do list on my desk and came here for a few days when I should be back working on that is because I serve the church, but it's not my master.
Yeah. Well, and the other quote that was like really key, I've heard it before. I have no idea who to attribute it to. But the church more than it needs my skill or anything else, it needs my personal holiness.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if we're not serving out of a place of like, connection with the Father and, enjoy and service, like what are we giving? You know, like that. I was talking about this with our small group leaders the other weekend, and I was like, we cannot give what we do not have. Like, if I don't possess something, I can't give it. And I can't lead someone where I've not gone. And if we're not leading, if we're not living and leading out of a place of connection to Christ, like, we're just not going to be able to do it.
Yeah. No. Mm-mm. No, I mean, like, you can lead and give out of your weaknesses.
Totally.
But even, like, even your weaknesses are like your possession. Mm-hmm. And like when you, like, so if you were to say like, you can't give what you don't have. Well, I'm really weak in that area. So how could I possibly give to someone out of this area of my weakness? Well, our vulnerability about our weaknesses is actually the gift,
right?
Is what we give to them, because then it speaks to this nature of like our dependence on Jesus for the things of our weaknesses,
making Christ magnified in our weaknesses.
He becomes the focus. Our weaknesses don't actually become the focus. They just become the environment through which Christ Jesus is glorified.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I am grateful to be here.
Yeah.
It's a new, like I said, you've been here to this, or you've experienced this conference before. I have not. It's a different type of environment. Culturally, and even, I don't want to say theologically, because it's not probably not very accurate.
They're not even like digging into anything that's super distinctive.
No, but it's just a different vibe, I should say, for me.
For sure,
different vibe. But I'm like I said, I'm appreciating the opportunity to just kind of sit and receive rather than feeling like I gotta capture a bunch of content or information. So,
and it's kind of nice we're doing it at this, like, at this retreat center park camp that, like, we're live streaming it. We're not actually in Cleveland at the conference. It gives us a little, like, because otherwise that we'd be at that church and we'd be packed with tons of other pastors, which is fun in its own way.
Yeah,
a chance to network, and they have a really cool bookshop.
Oh geez. Exactly what we need.
Yeah, exactly what we need. But this kind of gives us a little bit of space to kind of be here but be away, and at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And be back in our own beds.
At night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been reading this book kind of slowly, called 400,000 hours or something like that, productivity for humans, something like that. Essentially, the whole premise of the book, it's a really rather depressing productivity book, because he takes like the average human length or human lifespan and puts it down into quantitative hours. This is about how many hours you have. That's the title of the book.
Boy.
And he's just like, now, if you start with that as your starting point, how does that impact the way that you're productive? Mm-hmm. And granted, this is a secular book. But he's just like, he really goes into this, like, talking about, like, being really good at answering emails, which is, like, you know, a thing in corporate world. We don't have to answer emails quite so much.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just like, you set up your inboxes and your notes and your flags and your auto replies, and you just get really fast at getting the zero inbox all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know what that means? It just means you're going to answer more emails.
Mm-hmm.
The more efficient you get at doing that thing, the more you're going to actually end up doing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you actually might need to be kind of crappy at answering emails if you don't want to just keep answering emails. Because people are going to just keep emailing you because they're like, oh, they always answer so quick. I know I can email them and they'll get back to me, you know, in a half hour or something like that. Well, and then your whole life is just spent constantly trying to get the inbox zero, and you never actually do the important thing.
Yeah. I guess how could we translate that over into our work?
I think it's like, I mean, we could do that with like any kind of goal, like anything that we feel like is that we feel like could be like a metric for us,
mm-hmm.
of like,
I mean, is it essentially a, like a, is it like the, essentially the creation of a boundary?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's what, that's maybe what it sounds like a little bit to me.
Yeah. You just kind of say like, I'm like,
so I like, yeah, I like on Sunday night, which is Sunday afternoon and Sunday, like when church is over on Sundays,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much like
done.
Yeah. You know? And, so I, and not a whole lot of people, well, I guess some people understand that, some people don't, is that, well, oh, isn't a pastor, on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Kind of, but
the long and short of it is like, yes and no. You know, like the funeral director is on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
You know, like I have days off.
Yeah.
And I have Sabbath, and I have times where I am, very much not available.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are exceptions to that, mm-hmm. for legitimate, urgent, and important things.
Yeah.
If something's just urgent but not important,
right?
It's like I'm not available.
We can talk about what we're out of stock in, right. the church tomorrow.
Right, right. Where if something's important but not urgent, okay, this is very important, but since it's not urgent, can we talk about it tomorrow?
Right.
And I, there was a, you know, a situation this past week where I just simply said, you know, I can't, it's not something I can do right now.
Right.
Spend time with my family tonight.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes people understand that and sometimes people don't, but I think what I've learned over the last 20 years of failing at it in a lot of ways is, again, that like the church in its urgency, mm-hmm. sometimes is not my master.
Yeah. Well, and it's that kind of, goes back to that, like that illustration that probably has been done to death by now, that jar in the rocks and the sand.
Yeah.
Right. If you try and put all, mm-hmm. the sand in first and then put the rocks in and the pebbles, like you won't be able to fit the big rocks in.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the big rocks in, and then the smaller rocks, and then the sand last, mm-hmm. it'll all kind of fit in the jar. Kind, mm-hmm. of that idea of like, if you put the big important things in first, everything else tends to find a way to fit in around them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is a bit of a, like, I had to, like, I finished a big milestone on a project recently.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yep. really exciting. Maybe we'll talk about it in a future episode.
Oh, we definitely need to. Yep.
But like, I was just like, I gotta get this done. Like, it's been on my, like, Cameron laughs because it has been on.
I've been pushing you to work on it for years.
Yes.
Literally.
For literally years at this point.
Well, and you have been working on it for years. It's not like,
yeah. Right. It's not like I haven't touched it, but like, I had gotten down to like the last, like literally 98%.
Yeah.
For this mile marker. And I was like, I just gotta work on it. And like, something else is not gonna get done this week.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna work on it and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and man, I feel so much better.
I bet.
Having like, I was like, ah, like I can do the thing. I can. But, and you know what? The thing is that like, you have to overcome that like fear that, well, if I say no to the smaller thing, some big boogie monster is going to come after me.
Yeah.
And, well, you didn't come after me, so.
No. Mm-mm. No, you didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Good. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we hope that y'all can maybe resonate with this kind of discussion.
Yep.
And maybe understand, even in your own applications, that you don't need to...
You don't need to get everything done.
Just that, like, not everything that demands your attention is your master.
Yeah.
and learning the dynamic of the urgent and the important, I think is important. Anyway, hope this encouraged you or gave you something to think about. You know, if you are a member of Conduit or you're in the Jamestown or Chautauqua County, New York, Warren County, Pennsylvania, Cattaraugus County, New York,
the region
that we, you know, that we pastor from at Conduit, love to see you in church this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there's
9 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
9 o'clock. That's right. I was going to say 10 o'clock, but 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And of course, we have some midweek opportunities as well. A Wednesday evening Bible study that happens every Wednesday.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, studying through Ephesians right now. Yep. So anyway, thanks for listening and watching. As always, you can text in your questions or topics you'd like to see us cover, 716-201-0507, or drop them in the comments. If you have opportunity to share this episode or the podcast with someone or to like it, wherever you're listening, subscribe to it, rate it, that would be great. It's a great help for us. I'm always encouraged when I see people sharing the screenshot of like the episode or the podcast page. So appreciate y'all, and we'll catch you on the next one.